Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Today really is a story of your faithfulness. That's what this whole worship gathering is about. It is not about our faithfulness. We would not have had as many great songs to sing if today were about our faithfulness. But we had songs to sing today because of your faithfulness. Thank you that you've been around for a long, long time. And everyone who has called on you has been saved. So I pray today that you would break the spirit of fear that is gripping so many people in this gathering, and that you would set us free to live in faith of a God who has always been faithful. Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me do that today. Obviously, I couldn't say anything that would help anybody, but you speak the words of life and freedom, and so I'm trusting you to do that again today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the talk today is God is Working on It. Can you say that with me? Let's all try it. God is working on it. Let's say it with a little pause, a little effect. God is working on it right now. That's the whole title. God is working on it. When is he working on it? Right now. What's he working on? He's working on whatever is making you afraid. Right now. And fear is driving life. If you don't believe that, just read the Bible. Because God consistently, from the beginning of time, has been talking to us about our fears. And fear got in the story fast. There are all kinds of fears. And writing this book, Fear Not, I lived in a whole world of thinking about fear for a long time. And if you Google what are people afraid of, the number one thing you're going to get in your search really fast is arachnophobia. That's going to come up on almost every search. You know what that is, right? Fear of spiders. We're not going to address that today, but that's real. I'm sure God is concerned about that and working on that too, but that's not what he wants to help us with today. I think right next to it, by the way, interestingly, is glossophobia. Anybody? It's what I'm doing right now. Fear of public speaking. Right there with spiders. Like, I don't want the Black Widow, and I don't want to have to get up in front of a bunch of people and tell them about it. There's another one I found. There's so many fears. I mean, there's a fear for every moment in time, practically. Arachnobuterophobia is a real fear. It's the fear of getting peanut butter stuck on the roof of your mouth. It's real. You can Google it. Look it up. Tap your phone, the back of the seat. It's right there. It's real. And those are fears to kind of laugh about. And they're really not the fears that God wants to get down underneath and set us free from today. But fears are real. The fear of the future is real, especially in the world that we're living in right now. The fear that something bad's going to happen to your children is real. The fear that something bad's going to happen to you is real. The fear of rejection, the fear of being abandoned, the fear of living a life that didn't matter in the end. The fear of not being enough, not being a good enough dad or a good enough mom or a good enough wife or a good enough husband or just not being good enough in life. The fear of not having enough. The fear of scarcity. I'm not going to have what I need tomorrow. That's a real fear. The fear of dying and what's to come after we die. There's so many fears that are gripping our lives, and it's been that way from the beginning. When you go to the book of Genesis, this is crazy. And I don't want to stretch too much into this, but Adam and Eve were lied to by the serpent. We all know the story. Because God had told them, all this is yours, but just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you eat from that tree, you're gonna die. Okay, good, we good, awesome. All this, run it, lead it, steward it. I love you. I'll be back when the sun goes down. We'll talk about it. But the serpent comes and he says, did God say? Did God really say? And then he snuck in the side door and said to Eve, what if God is keeping something from you? What if he knows that if you eat from this tree, you could be a better version of you and maybe even like him? And you know what happened right in that moment? The choice to trust or to fear came in the door. And Eve feared. She feared that she might be missing out on something better. FOMO. FOMO in paradise. So if you can have FOMO in paradise, you can have FOMO anywhere. And we're living in a culture that's just feeding us the soil of FOMO every single moment we're awake. The so-and-sos went on vacation, and of course, you know, we went to, I don't know, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and they went to Greece. Santorini. I hear it's like ants in a jar, but if you get to that one spot and get that photograph, it makes it look like you own the world. Now, I heard you have to wait in a line for an hour to get that photo with a lot of sweaty people. But man, you're looking at it and you're like, you used to have to send a postcard. Anybody my age? You used to have to send a postcard, Pastor John. People would get it like a week later. We went to Panama City. And then, you know, slideshow arrived. Friends would come over and you'd show them, hey, look, we went on safari. There we are in the Jeep. And then we just got real time. Like, you're coming on my vacation with me. You're sitting in your cubicle at your job that you don't really love, and I'm having a time, and you're gonna watch me have it. FOMO in paradise. And they fell. Fear led them to the fall. And when they fell, the Lord came, he called out to them, and they said, we hid because we were afraid. Genesis 3:10. In the 65th verse of Scripture, which contains 31,102 verses, 65 verses in, man was afraid. Fear is not new, and it's not you. We're all struggling with some kind of fear, and God's coming into our story today, and he wants to speak to us about our fears. And I want to lead us today to a text that is very well known, but I want to help us understand it maybe in a deeper way today. Psalm 46, verse 10. Does anybody know this verse? It might be crocheted on a pillow at your house. It says, be still and know. Does anybody know how to finish this verse? And know that I am God. I'm in Isaiah 46 and having trouble finding verse 10 that says be still. So just give me a minute so I can get to the right place where I'm going. How powerful is the promise of God? Be still and know that I am God. How many of you have heard that verse before, quoted that verse, thought about that verse before? Another translation says, cease striving and know that I am God. Continues on and says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. Don't worry about me. Be still. Know that I am God, and I'm going to be exalted everywhere among all people. That's the plan, and that's going to happen. I'm going to make sure that we get there. But here's what I want us to see really quickly today. And I know last time I was here, I was looking back, and I preached on Jeremiah 29:11, another life verse for many of us. And then we did that whole history thing and kind of went all back in all that to come back and get the point. And I know nobody wants to do that again, but I want to do that again today if I can. Because sometimes the highlighter is not your friend. Does anybody have a Bible with you today? Hello, can you just give me a little wave if you've got a Bible? Awesome. If you have a little mark, underline, a highlight, a little arrow by Psalm 46:10, be still and know. Anybody have a little mark there? Can you just see it? Hands a little higher, a little higher. Thank you. Look at all the spiritual people are right down here in the front. That is really amazing. That's so powerful. And I do too. I mean, it's beside the point, but I do also. But with this psalm, I did something new that I have started doing more. I just put a box around the whole psalm. You're like, well, why did you do that? Why didn't you just highlight, be still and know that I am God? Because that's really all you need out of this psalm. The rest of it's just extra stuff, you know, for people who don't have, you know, anything else to do. It's just really all about be still and know that I am God. Highlight that, get that, memorize that, talk about that, repeat that, tell yourself that, and you're good. Except for the fact that that's the tip of the iceberg of Psalm 46. There's something running in the background of this psalm. And if you love history, you'll enjoy this. If not, if history's just kind of meh to you, then just, you know, hang around just for a minute. We'll come back and we'll land this thing. But there's something running in the background, just like there's something running in the background of your life today. There's something running in the background on our phone right now. Your phone right now has apps that are refreshing. They're sending you notifications. They're updating. There's stuff running in the background. That's why your battery's draining and you have to charge your phone more than you used to. You got too much stuff running in the background. You need to go shut some of that stuff down because it's working all the time and it's draining your battery power. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is there's stuff running in the background of your life right now in my life. Diagnoses are running in the background. Your kid's decision and the dominoes of that decision are running in the background right now. Whether or not your job is a sure thing by the end of the year is running in the background right now. The fact that some of the bills are higher than the amount that you've got to pay is running in the background. Some of your anxiety is running in the background. Some of the family tension and drama that's going on right now is running in the background. The fact that some of you haven't spoken to your sibling for the last 2 years is running in the background. Your addiction's running in the background. The lies the enemy's telling you are running in the background. There's all kind of stuff running in the background of our lives all the time. And there are things running in the background of the psalmist's lives. And what's running in the background of Psalm 46, which is written by the sons of Korah, these worship leaders. It'd be like a major top-line worship band if it was today. And the sons of Korah are writing this psalm. Let's just listen to the whole psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, here's what we want to zero in on. Do you see this? We what? We will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. So at the end of verse 3, we see this word Selah. And what does Selah mean? It means stop and think about that for a minute. And so we stop and think about that for a minute, and then we move on. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We're going to talk about that. The holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her in this city. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Check. Kingdoms fall. Check. But he lifts his voice and the earth melts. Amen. The Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Stop and think about that. Then he goes on. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. I bet no one's got that one highlighted. So, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, every last one of them. And I will be exalted on the earth. And listen to how the sons of Korah close this song. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And what's running in the background? Do you know? Sennacherib is running in the background. You're like, who's Sennacherib? He was the most powerful man on earth at the moment. King of Assyria, literally iron fist ruling, and he's on a terror trail. He has come down through what would be modern day Syria and Lebanon into northern Israel, and he has ransacked every city. And now he's decided and announced that Jerusalem is going down. And he is filled with hatred and pride and blaspheming arrogance. And word comes to the king in Jerusalem, Hezekiah, who became king at just 25 years of age. Dad was a joke of a king, but he loved God. And Hezekiah wanted to lead the people back to the kind of people that would honor God. And now he gets word, Sennacherib, is he's taken city after city after city after city after city. And now he's barreling right down on us. You read about this in 2 Kings. This is the history part that if that's not really your thing, this would be a good time to check in with your family or see what updates are happening or notifications are coming. Just a few things in 2 Kings 19, verses 5. So when King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, they went to the prophet Isaiah to say, what should we do with all these threats that are coming our way? Isaiah said to them, tell your master, that's Hezekiah, that this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid, there's our word, of what you have heard. Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. In other words, God is agitated. I hear them. I hear what they're saying. I hear that they're not only saying they're coming against you, but they're blaspheming me. I get it and I hear it. Fast forward down to verse 14. So the king, Sennacherib and his people send a letter to Hezekiah. And all the while, you can read this in 2 Kings 18, he's just saying, hey, and he even says it in Hebrew. He gets a translator. I want y'all to understand what I'm saying. I'm coming against your city. I'm coming against your God. Don't think he's going to save you. Don't believe Hezekiah when he tells you y'all are going to call on God and God's going to come through. Your God is not coming through. Tell him that in Hebrew. I want them all to hear it. And then he writes a letter, and Hezekiah receives this threatening letter. And you know what he does? He calls his best friend and says, can we go get coffee tomorrow? No, it's not what he does. Nothing wrong with that. But not as a first step. You know what he decides to do? He decides to go take the letter to God. Hezekiah, verse 14, received the letter from the messengers, and he read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim. You start a prayer like that, I'm telling you, heaven just got real quiet. I went, what? Wow. O Lord, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim. You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the words of the words Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. When you get the letter, the text, the message, the email, before you go, man, you should see this. Before you go, can you believe this? Before you go, I gotta forward this to JoJo and let them know what's going on. Before any of that, can you imagine taking that threat and bringing it to God and saying, Lord, they're coming against your glory. God enthroned between the cherubim. And God, when his glory is threatened, especially by a little teeny tiny man like Sennacherib, not going to go good. And so God responds. Listen to what he says in verse 27. We'll jump back into real time. Verse 27. He says this. Let me come down a little further. He says, but I know where you stay. He's now talking to Sennacherib. He's responding to his letter. I know where you stay and where you come and go and how you rage against me. I just like that verse. I'm kind of encouraging us to do more than just highlight a verse today, but I'd highlight that one. These people that are anti-God, God's saying, I know where you stay. And I know when you come, and I know when you go. I'm watching you. You think you are so powerful that you're gonna blaspheme the God of heaven, but I know everything about you. I know when you come and I know when you go. I know all of that. And then he comes down and he says in verse 32, therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. Whew. The Lord had spoken. Hezekiah was brilliant. Because he sought God. And the sons of Korah are living in this dynamic and they're understanding what's happening. They're realizing, we went to Isaiah. Isaiah spoke a word. We took the letter and then God responded to Sennacherib and then he gave a promise about the city. The sons of Korah are getting all this. And so Sennacherib's still coming. His army is still on the way, but they decide to write a song while he's coming. And his plan is to build a siege ramp because in these days, once you would come to the city of Jerusalem or any walled city, they would just close the gate and you couldn't get in. You can't go over the wall. So what would they do? They would just start building up a siege ramp. They would just put rocks and more rocks and more rocks and more rocks. And it might take a year for them to build the ramp high enough that they could drive their chariots right up to the top of the wall of the city. Meanwhile, your cows are dying and your crops are done and your oil is running out and you're starving. That's how war would be waged. And maybe that's what the enemy's trying to do to you right now. It's just build a siege ramp up into your world. And you know, he's very patient. He'll take as much time as necessary. But Hezekiah had a word from God. And this is the real thing that I think God wants us to walk away with today. The antidote to our fear is not courage. You would think that would be the thing we would need. Man, I'm afraid. I need more courage. I'm not going to be afraid. Now, the antidote to fear isn't courage, it's faith. The antidote to fear is faith, because fear is an enemy planted what if. What if when y'all make that move, it doesn't work out and you're a laughing stock? What if you buy that house and it turns out that that was the worst decision that you ever made and it leads you into financial ruin? What if your kids go off to school and something terrible happens? What if this, that? What about that? What about that? And we're living in all these what if scenarios that are driving our lives by fear. And God is saying, what have I said to you? And so that's what God's asking you and me today. We know what the fear is saying, but what has God said to you? Do you have a word from God? Do you have something from the Lord that you can stand on like Adam and Eve did? So when the serpent came and said, did God say that you know, you can't eat from that tree? Did he really say you'll die? Their answer should have been, that's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said. And look at what he's given us. Look how generous he's been to us. Look how amazing he is to come and walk with us and have a relationship with us and invite him into his glorious being and the world that he has made. Yes, that's what God said. And we're with what God said. And I'm asking you today, what is he saying to you? Because that's what you have to stand on when the fear comes. And Hezekiah and the sons of Korah, they had a word from the Lord that God was going to defend their city and not an arrow would be shot there. And so they wrote a song. Be still and know that I am God. Do you hear Sennacherib's coming? I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. The Lord, he is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's like a couple hundred thousand of them. Be still. Know that I am God. And Hezekiah and the sons of Korah worshiped God because of the promise of his word. Even when the circumstance was threatening their very existence. But then Hezekiah did something else. It says in the middle of this psalm that there is a river that makes glad the city of God. And we think that's probably foreshadowing heaven, where there is a joyful city that we're all headed to with this glorious river and streams of life. But there was a different story happening in the background of this psalm, Psalm 46. And Hezekiah had a word from God, but he also was very smart, and God had given him wisdom. And for your fear and my fear moving forward, we need both the word of God and we need the wisdom of God. We need to stand on God's word and act on God's wisdom. And if you're afraid of something right now, you probably need to get out of the neutral position and get into the moving position. You need to get out of the I'm paralyzed by the fear and start moving into action based on God's word. And Hezekiah was brilliant. He thought, Sennacherib's coming. They're going to build a siege ramp. I don't know how long it's going to last. A year, year and a half, 6 months. I don't know, but we'll be done for. He got wisdom from God. And then this is what he did. Okay, I wish we could all go there really fast and see this. There was a spring outside the city wall, the Gishon Spring. It's why Jerusalem existed. It's because of this spring. It provided the water for the city of Jerusalem, even though the spring was outside the city walls. And when Sennacherib came and the walls were shut and the gate was shut, the spring would be out there and we can't get to it. So he went and diverted the spring. And then he went underground, 136 feet down, 13-story building down into the limestone. And his workers from two ends began to dig a tunnel. Now, this is all happening in 701 BC. So when the headline read, Middle East invasion takes aim at Israel, imminent siege of Jerusalem. That wasn't a headline that you saw in the news last week. That was a headline that was in the story running in the background 2,726 years ago. So he has his workers dig this tunnel. It's about this wide and about this tall. It's 1,700 feet long. That's like from here to the interstate. The workers meet smack in the middle. 13 stories down. And then he builds a pool called the Pool of Siloam. You've heard about that pool in the New Testament. It's where people would come and do their ritual cleansing before they went up to the temple. Giant pool, Olympic-sized pool. They just discovered the Pool of Siloam a few years ago and are excavating it right now. Hezekiah's tunnel, they discovered a while back, including the inscription. In 1880, the tunnel was found. You can go there. You can go down, if you're not claustrophobic, down the 130-something feet. You can get in the tunnel, which has water, you know, ankle-deep or knee-deep, most of it. And you can walk through in the pitch-dark Hezekiah's tunnel from the diverted Gishon Spring into and under the city wall into a pool that Hezekiah built that was massive and could hold a water supply that would keep the city alive. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It was the word of God and the wisdom of God. It was the word of God and the wisdom of God. That Hezekiah had both something to stand on in word and an action to step into in wisdom and in faith. And now the sons of Korah are going, come on, man, strike it up. Be still and know that I am God. And by the way, we got a river running underground through limestone to the Pool of Siloam. We can live in here for a couple of years. We can keep our cattle alive and we can make our food go further. Build up your siege ramp if you want to. We'll be in here singing our song of praise to God. God wants to remind you today that he's working on it. Right now. You're like, I don't see him working. Well, no one saw them digging that tunnel. God come home at the end of the day. Wife be had to go today. He'd have limestone dust all over him. It was good. Did 12 meters. Crew of 10. Banging away. She believed him. It looked like he'd been digging a tunnel. But I hadn't seen a tunnel. I haven't been down there. And most of the people living in Jerusalem never did go down there. But God had made a way. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but God is making a way right now through whatever you're afraid of. It doesn't mean that the Sennacherib goes away tomorrow. Although this story, it's worth reading the end of it in 2 Kings 19, 20. And in 2 Kings 20, by the way, there's a great ending to Hezekiah's life and the great achievement of his life. The last verse says, and he's the one who diverted the springs and built the pool that created the rescue for the city. This is history, people. This isn't us coming to church today and telling some stories that we made up somewhere along the way. This is history. This is archaeology. This is life. And this is our God. And he's faithful. He always has been and he always will be. And he's trying to say to you today, I am enough. You fast forward to the New Testament, and Paul wrote it this way to his protege, Timothy, who was facing a lot of challenges. He says, but God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline or self-control. Isn't that interesting that he wrote, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear? See, fear is not just an emotion. Fear is a spirit, and it has not come from the Spirit of Almighty God. It comes from a different spirit. And so when you're facing fear, you don't need to just say, I need to white knuckle it, or I need to get more courage, or I need to manage my emotions better. No, you need to speak out the mighty name of Jesus against the spirit of the darkness that is coming against your mind and coming against your peace. And you need to say to God, I claim you. I will not bow to this fear telling me, what about all these what if scenarios? Or maybe for you, you're like, Louis, I'm sorry, friend, but I'm not in a what if scenario. I'm in a scenario. I'm not in a, well, what if this happens? I'm in a, it is happening. Well, I would just take you back to worship and take you to a song where these worship leaders didn't write this on a worship writing retreat while they were having herbal tea. There's an army breathing down their neck, but there was a rock underneath their feet, and they said, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. You know, when I was praying specifically last night about today, and I wasn't preaching this text when I went to bed last night, but I was when I woke up. I didn't get a dream. I just didn't sleep great. And I was just praying all night. And I just kept seeing somebody, not an audience or a crowd. God doesn't see audiences or congregations or crowds. He sees people. And I just kept praying for the person who's sitting here right now in one of these locations. And you're going, there is no way that you're preaching this word today. Fear has got me by the neck. Aren't you glad that God not only knows where Sennacherib stays, he knows where you stay. And he knows when you come and go. And he knows everything about what you're facing right now. And he's not downplaying the circumstance. He's just playing up his sovereign rule and reign. And he's wanting to encourage you today, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm working on it right now. I have heard your prayers. I saw when you laid out your letter before me. I saw when you appealed to heaven. I've heard you appeal to my glory. I've seen your faithfulness. I've seen you try to do the right thing even in a difficult situation. I've seen you take steps of wisdom even when it would be easy for you just to throw your hands up and say, forget it all. I've seen all of that. And I want you to know I'm working on it. And I want you to know I'm with you. And I want you to know that the main idea today is this, that you can cease striving and know that I'm God. Because what fear does, what does fear do? It makes us want to control. And man, controlling, I'm going to keep this from happening. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. I'm going to make sure this does happen. I'm going to manage this. I'm going to run all this, and I'm going to make sure nothing bad goes wrong. And at the end of the day, you're just completely exhausted. And God's saying to you, I'm managing it. You can take a deep breath. I'm in charge. And I'm greater. I wonder if there's a person today that you're like, This is what I came for. And today I'm realizing I have the ability to choose faith over fear. I have let fear get on the mic and hog the mic so long. But I'm realizing today that Jesus is on the mic. And his voice is a voice that thunders. And when he speaks, the whole earth melts. He's on the mic. And I'm going to choose today faith over fear.